RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Time for our Tech Tuesday with Stephen Sykes because, well, it's Tuesday. So that makes sense. Hi, Stephen. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Not too bad for a Tuesday. All right. You were at the Innovation, what was it? Exhibition?
Christchurch Innovation Expo.
That's right. So we're going to sort of like leverage off that a bit more, I think, in a roundabout way shortly. But and we'll get to some news headlines right at the end, but we'll do a lot more news next week is our plan. So let's go to some of the feedback first into 2057 and inbox at realitycheck.radio to Tech Tuesday. Who's been in touch, Stephen?
So somebody had contacted us with regards to the ANZ Go Money and Internet Banking app. They'd received a communication from the bank to say that an app update collects interest, some extra data, so like your device's model and operating system, IP address, how you swipe, scroll and how you type, the speed that you type. This was something that we've, I can't remember exactly when, but we did cover it a few weeks ago. And you can on your phone pretty much disable all the app's permissions that it seeks to use and carry on. But I would say that if you're worried about an app like that doing that kind of thing, you need to be taking a closer look at the operating system that your phone's running as well.
Okay.
Because that's a much deeper invasion of privacy.
Yeah, well, what can you do easily about that, though, apart from go, okay, I'm operating that system? You need to know what you're doing to drill in further, don't you?
Oh, it's called a de-Googled phone.
Ah, right. And people can talk to you about that.
Yeah.
And more directly,
The other thing you can potentially do is not use the GoMoney app. You can do internet banking directly with your web browser as well.
Yeah.
Because some of the permissions that the app seeks, which you can deny it, is determined nearby devices. So it's basically seeing what other things are around you. And the more and more financial apps do that kind of thing, then if it becomes compulsory at some point in the future, you know, the app won't work unless this permission is allowed, then time to think differently about how to solve that problem.
Right. Would that be like find another bank?
It could be, but if they'll all end up doing it. Maybe that means doing it through a web browser. And if one is really dedicated, then you simply fabricate data about nearby devices.
Oh, okay.
Either that or have no other devices around you that your phone could potentially pick up on.
Boy, it gets complicated, doesn't it, potentially?
Yes, so the walls are closing in, but at the same time, there's always a way out.
All right, any more on the IRD hashing? Have I got that right? That's what it's called,
right.
The hashing? Yeah.
Yep, so it does seem like a right royal hash job, and a few people did write in to say that they have received a reply from IRD, and I am one of those because I put in a request as well, and the OIO request is worded as, was any of my personal information, including but not limited to my name, email address, contact information, the fact I'm a New Zealand taxpayer, date of birth, included in the data provided to social media companies, including but not limited to Meta, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Google in the past 3 years? If so, please tell me what information was provided, the data was provided, to what entities, and the reasons for the same. The reply is long.
Oh, how long?
Several paragraphs. But the takeaway is that they're saying, yeah, nah, too hard. So, To quote what they've said, which to me raises more questions than it actually answers, they say, due to the large number of ad campaigns we do to ensure people are aware of their tax obligations and entitlements, it's not reasonably practicable for us to search to see which campaigns you may have been included in. We don't hold this information in a way that enables it to be readily retrieved. Substantial manual collation would be required to review the list to confirm whether you were included in a direct marketing campaign. This would require significant time and resources. We are refusing your information request under Section 44(2)(a) of the Privacy Act as the information is not readily retrievable, and Section 18(f) of the Official Information Act as the information cannot be made available without substantial collation. And they go on and on. But here's the thing that they say which might actually make you go, well, hang on, that would be me. They say that you may have been included in a previous campaign if you have a social media account with Facebook or LinkedIn or have a Google account and any of the following apply to you: are likely eligible or receive working for families, have a New Zealand student loan, have an overdue tax return or bill. So I don't know what the numbers would look like, but I'm betting that's a lot of people.
Yeah, and you can see who they're targeting.
You can see who they're targeting, and why on earth should a big tech company have access to that kind of information?
Yeah. And if they do, then IRD should be able to tell you if you're caught up in it. I'm just trying to, understand what they mean about the manual collation. Surely you're just searching tables of data, aren't you?
Well, the fact that they don't know, well, they claim to not really know if you've been included or not. If they don't know, then they, to me, haven't been responsible with the data they have about you, because they can't tell easily if you were involved or not.
Yeah, it should be really locked down if that's the case.
Yes.
All right, interesting. Now, can you just explain what the hashing thing is one more time, just for me, actually, just so I've got it really clear in my head what they use it for?
Hashing can be used to verify the integrity of data. It's a one-way mathematical algorithm. Don't confuse it with encryption, because it's not the same. You can verify that one data source is exactly the same as another. So if you would happen to download a file off the internet for whatever reason, and they say the hash value of this file is blah, 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 you download it. You can ask your computer to give me the hash value of the file you downloaded. If they match precisely, you know that the download was not compromised, not corrupted in any way.
Yep.
So you might remember I gave the example of if you took the entire text of the of War and Peace.
Yes, and I remember.
You change a full stop to a comma in the middle of, to join a sentence together. Redo the hash. You will find that the hash you get out will be substantially different, and you'd be able to verify, well, hang on, this version of War and Peace isn't the same as the original.
Gotcha.
But if they are the same, then you know it's not. It is an identical copy. And the issue here around IRD was the fact that you can take information that you can figure out. So you can figure out or compute the hashes for phone numbers, because we know how phone numbers work in New Zealand.
And then confirm that it's actually the person that belongs to that number rather than, Okay, I've got it. Thank you. Anything more? Re-feedback?
No, not in terms of feedback.
All right. So as I said, we'll maybe at the end bring in a couple of news headlines, because we want to have substantially this episode dedicated to the main topic, which is health.
Oh, yes. This is a topic very important to everybody, and for new ways that you may not have considered yet. But what I wanted to start off with something that you might not think terribly appropriate for Tech Tuesday, but as with anything I tend to do, there's a purpose or a method for the madness. So I've been reading, or started to read, a book called This Is Dyslexia by Kate Kriggs. Mm-hmm. And I came across something in the book that says that why people who have dyslexia, why they make excellent spies. So if you're looking for a job for the UK GCHQ, then they tend to employ people who have dyslexia because they have a different way of thinking. They see the big picture. They see things that other people do not see.
Interesting. There are a few famous ones. Dyslexia, we can't call them sufferers because if there are positives to it, you're not suffering. But I think Richard Branson,
that's right,
was dyslexic.
He actually wrote the foreword for that book I just mentioned.
Did he? Actually, you won't believe this, but I've chatted to Richard Branson personally a bit about his dyslexia.
Oh, wow.
We were interviewing him at an air show, and he had these things in front of, some notes in front of him, referring to his Spaceship One, which they were just launching then, and Virgin Galactic was. It was the launch year of that, and we're in the Virgin tent at Oshkosh, and we had a 20-minute interview with him. And he says, look, I've got some notes here, but he says, it's a bit of a struggle for me because, you know, I'm dyslexic.
Hmm.
And, okay. And he got his assistant to read out a few bits, which he then memorized photographically, actually, because I guess that's how they do it, right? And so there was personal experience with a very famous dyslexia sufferer, though that's the wrong word. I think Churchill was dyslexic, wasn't he?
I'm not too sure.
Or Napoleon. Maybe Napoleon was. Anyway, there's some famous people that, high achievers who are dyslexic. Anyway, I'm hogging the microphone.
Steven Spielberg, Keira Knightley, a lot of famous actors, publishers, filmmakers. I mean, I started reading this kind of stuff because I'm starting to figure out more about myself. Particularly around ADHD, like, oh, wow, that explains a lot of growing up.
Okay. Yeah, answers being a few questions, right?
Well, being able to see the big picture about things before other people can and feeling frustrated because other people don't see what you can see. So you start to wonder, do I have a problem? No, I don't. It's everyone else who can't keep up. So I've heard the terms used before that things like dyslexia, when you can harness it, is actually more like a superpower.
Yeah. Yeah, what is that joining dots?
Yes, being able to see the big picture.
Yeah.
And with that leads us right into health.
And what comes from, what naturally flows from the big picture. Okay, health.
Yes.
Let's go.
So as I tend to like to do, I like to make a reference to history. So we'll start off with probably the biggest disaster in health outside of COVID. So we'd go back to 1986, and there was a machine known as the Therac 25. This was a machine designed to deliver radiation treatment to patients, and it was a right royal mess up. So this was a machine that was cleared by the FDA, and it was made by a Canadian company called AECL, or Atomic Energy of Canada Limited. What was different about the Therac 25 compared to the earlier models was that they had taken away the mechanical interlocks. Now, these mechanical interlocks prevented the machine from doing, from giving high dosage of radiation to people. Basically, if you entered in information into the machine that didn't make sense, then these mechanical interlocks prevented that from happening.
Mm-hmm.
So the software was bad because they put all this faith into the software running of the machine. And without the mechanical interlocks, then the machine is cheaper to produce, less maintenance because you didn't have to check and replace parts in the same way.
Yep.
People ended up dying because of this. They would end up getting 100 times the prescribed dosage.
Ouch.
People would get burns, blisters, damaged tissue. One person described it as someone pouring hot coffee on their back as they lay there getting treatment.
Yeah.
And the X-ray radiation ended up being focused rather than spread out, like when you're getting a regular radiation, like X-ray radiation from having a broken bone or something like that.
Yep.
And some received doses that was higher than the nuclear weapon Demon Core that went briefly critical in a lab about 40 years before all of that. As a result, now in Canada, as a result of a bridge that failed, killing 88 workers due to bad design and engineering, engineers now in Canada receive a ring that they wear, and the ring serves in part to remind people of the professional and ethical duties placed on them. So you're effectively doing things for people's lives, right? You're, the things you do, the things you build, affect real people.
Yep. Could kill them if you get
them. You could literally kill them with things like this. So now we look at things like pacemakers or defibrillators. So Karen Sandler is someone who I've met. She's the executive director of the Software Freedom Conservancy. She's from Brooklyn, New York, and is also a lawyer. She has a heart condition known as hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, and it requires her to have an implantable cardioverter defibrillator, and she's had that since 2008. Now, later implementations of this particular device have Wi-Fi built into them. In the older models, in order to get any information out of them, you needed to plug in a wire to learn information about what's going on, whether or not the device has had to apply any shock treatment for her. And, of course, the later models now have Wi-Fi. Now, in lab conditions, they have been able to demonstrate the ability to intentionally cause heart attacks by simply hacking the device.
All right. Oh, dear.
So you might go, well, you know, if someone who might be considered an important dignitary, you know, an ambassador to a country or something, has something like this in their body, then they could be, you know, potentially a target. And you might go, well, okay, I've got one of these, but I'm not too worried because I'm not a high-profile person. Then take into account the Wi-Fi, well, not just Wi-Fi, but the electromagnetic soup we're all living in. And I have seen people in particular forums say, have you noticed that the key fob on your car doesn't work very well when you are parked near cell phone towers? So if a cell phone tower has the ability to interfere with the operability of your key fob remote, then you have to start wondering, what else could it be potentially interfering with? Now, if we consider the talk that I went to at the Innovation Expo, it was labelled Reimagining Healthcare, the Role of AI, AR, which is Augmented Reality, and Big Data. Now, it was quoted that the WEF has said, healthcare innovation is accelerating at an unprecedented scale, particularly in the digital space. Advances such as artificial intelligence and gene editing are transforming the way diseases are detected and treated. 3D technology is now being used for dental implants, replacement joints, as well as made-to-measure prosthetics. Of course, there's research into 3D printers for manufacturing skin tissue, organs, and even medication. Then the gene editing technology that can potentially transform how diseases are treated. And a VR helmet, you know, with the goggles. You've got a virtual reality helmet can be used to rehearse procedures as well as have full sight of the inside of a patient's body.
Gosh, right.
And they can use this to help with also with mental disorders by creating a controlled environment if somebody has a fear that they need to move past. They also talk about smart bandages, which can monitor wound healing and detect moisture in the wound and to deliver medication as needed. They also talking about having predictive analytics where AI can be used. Now, I think you'll your imagination will start connecting dots here. AI will be used to predict disease outbreaks, patient deterioration, and treatment outcomes, allowing for a more proactive and personalized care. Detect predictively disease outbreaks. Okay.
Okay. Alarm bells.
Yeah. And then they've got AI-driven drug discovery, where AI will, they say, speed up the drug discovery process, identifying potential new drugs and predict their effectiveness and safety. Oh, yeah?
Like safe and effective, you know what?
Yeah, I'm familiar with the tagline.
Should have been unsafe and negatively effective. That would have been more truthful.
Well, just more like, we have no idea.
No, but they did. They did. Okay, so AI's going to fix that. Yeah, right. Okay.
So remote monitoring. Wearable devices and remote monitoring tools become more sophisticated, allowing for continuous health tracking and early detection of issues. So going back briefly to one of our listeners who was curious about the Go Money app and the kind of tracking that goes in.
Yep.
So if that kind of thing concerns you, and you happen to be wearing a smartwatch, take it off and get rid of it. Throw it away. Because those things are notoriously bad for protecting your actual privacy, because that stuff gets given, sold, shared, whatever fancy terms you want to use, to insurance companies. So if you don't like, you know, that kind of thing, then just ditch it. Just throw it away.
Okay. Yep.
So with gene editing, there's going to be big advancements in that, and they say that there's potential curing of genetic disorders and tailoring treatments to individual genetic profiles.
Whatever, sure, yeah, yep. Easier skin, said than done. Easier
and
said
skin
than
patches,
done.
Which are expected to incorporate polymers that can repair themselves and have additional functionalities like antimicrobial properties or color changes in response to biochemical detection. These patches could provide a wide range of medical treatments, from data gathering,
yep,
and transmission, yep, to medication dispensing. Now, that's what was covered in the expo. We can now consider that these technologies have actually been in their genesis for quite a while. In fact, there has been an applied sciences paper that was published on the 26th of October 2021 called An Intelligent Clustering-Based Routing Protocol for 5G-based Smart Healthcare Using Game Theory and Reinforcement Learning, which was written by the Department of Computing Information Systems, Sunway University, Malaysia. So it's a 25-page PDF, and it's quite an interesting read. So the takeaway basically is that your body joins a network.
Yeah.
So they talk about the internet of bodies.
Yes, I've heard that.
Yeah, so that's what this is. So your body with the sensors in it, it has it takes information about your heart rate, your temperature, your blood pressure, diabetes risk, your ECG, what your heart's doing, your movement and your direction, your proximity and humidity. So that is like massively intrusive.
But for what reason? Because what, to save yourself from yourself? Is that what that's all about?
Well, some people think that they believe so much that what they're doing is the right thing, that they're saving people.
But are they saving anyone?
I would have said more controlling, because...
Well, obviously more controlling, but, you know, you'd expect at least to be able to point to some benefit, health benefit.
Well, yes, I suppose part of this makes me think of the Minority Report with that movie, it was more like, well, we predict that you're going to commit this particular crime and we're going to intervene and arrest you in advance,
yes.
Exactly. So, like, this is the same kind of thing, but with health, like, we predict that you're going to have this particular health event. Of course, when they collect all your health data, you know, when they say that to your insurance company, for example, to lower your premiums, oh, yes, I have been walking X thousands of steps per day or per week or whatever, the insurance company can look at the collation of data and go, no, you haven't. You've been lying to us. You're now an insurance risk. Premium's going up, et cetera, et cetera.
Why even have the insurance?
because insurance, it's based upon fear, isn't it? It's like,
yeah, it is. I mean, I don't have health insurance, and yep. I've never had it, yet I've been treated for cancer and for a heart attack and had all sorts of minor injuries along the way. I haven't needed it.
Mm.
It's a scam, as far as I'm concerned, unless I was one of these anxious people that was always fixated on myself too much and always worried about my health, and I'm not.
Yep. Well, when you're worried, you're deteriorating your health by worrying.
Yeah. Well, you are. You stress on yourself.
Yes, you do. Absolutely. That's very well known.
So you can just, you know, middle finger it and the problem solved.
Yes.
But then they might say, you don't send us any health data, so you can't access any health system.
That, or if you do have something, then you pay through the nose for it, so it becomes unaffordable.
Yeah, and okay. Course, chase me down for it.
Yeah.
Good luck.
And, of course, now some people may say, well, you know, this is going down the rabbit hole a bit, but this is published stuff. So the IEEE, which is the Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers, and they've been around since 1963, they're a standards body. You can look up the standard 802.15.6. They talk about MBAN, that is the Medical Body Area Network. Now, you might recall just a few years ago, a whole lot of people, whether they wanted to or had to accept coercion, accepted a substance that contained graphene oxide. And a lot of people have demonstrated the fact that this substance is able to construct itself into varying shapes.
Yes.
Particularly that can tune into 5G frequencies.
Yeah.
This stuff is documented.
I know that you mentioned 5G before.
Yes.
And for all this data to be available everywhere, you need to have that network I'm picking.
Yes. And, well, it's not just, you know, 5G towers or anything, but it's potentially anything that can talk to some of the device. We have Apple iPhones that even when they're turned off, they're not off. They have Bluetooth low energy and they always are aware of other devices around it. And you've now got the Google Pixel 6 and 7 phones that now when you are sleeping with it next to you or even just throughout the day, it can make a diagnosis based upon the way you cough. Like, okay, we think you've got this particular ailment. We'll act accordingly. So that's now available in phones. And here's another thing you may or may not have heard of this, but there's a thing called optogenetics. Now, the definition of that is it's a technique that enables the control of specific neurons or cells with light. They initially did it in animal models like they usually do. But now they've made significant progress in applying optogenetics to humans. So that includes your gene therapy, implantable devices, and, of course, there's various regulatory hurdles, which I am sure in the fullness of time, with you've got the FCC and the FDA. And
the ironed CDC. Out, yeah.
Yeah, I think there'll be a secret handshake and an exchange of money here and there, and there we go.
I don't want a bar of it. Don't want anything to do with it.
Neither. There you go. But this is the stuff that is, well, a lot of it's kind of here. The VR stuff is already used for in medical training.
Yeah. And well, that's probably all right. I can live with that. But all the internet of bodies, nah. Nah.
See, I often make the what's the word? Correlation, example, reference to the fact that when we were imprisoned in our homes a few years ago, there was very little time that we had to prepare for that. And then there was the choice around how you continue to integrate in society if you chose to. If you took the George's Marvelous Medicine, there wasn't really much of an opportunity to make decisions, informed decisions, because you didn't have the benefit of time.
Yeah.
So there was that massive pressure. We can see what's happening. We've got the benefit of time and not such a pressured way that I would argue. But it's the case of, well, you know, if you can see these things, what has to happen for you to go, well, that's it, I'm drawing the line. I'm not going to wear any longer a smartwatch that's collecting all my health, and goodness knows where that's going to and who's looking at it, etc. Where do you draw the line? What's got to happen? What's got to make you say, yep. What's got to make you say, that's it, that's enough, not playing that stupid game. I know I'm in a cage.
We're back to the cage. All right, that's a very good, it's a very interesting question with not an easy answer, because it will vary individual to individual, but there is a herd mentality that will determine the numbers who go one way or another. But, yeah, that's something to ponder. We're up against time, so let's leave the news till next week, because there's plenty of newsy stuff in that. It's all kind of newsy. A lot to think about there. And we'll do it again in about a week, Stephen, unless you have anything to add to that. Are we done?
No, I think that's a good place to finish.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.